Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
First of all, congratulations. You know, it's nice to have a couple new faces at the Score. And not just kidding.
Afternoons on the Score.
I think it's gone very well. We wanted to have a structure in place for him to succeed. And a lot of that was, I think, protecting him from the inevitable distractions. When you're the starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears, everybody wants some of your time. And unfortunately, in order for him to do his job properly, he doesn't have time for everyone. So we have to protect him. We have to act as buffers. And I think we've got a good support system in place for him.
It's George McCaskey when the team was in London talking about all the demands and things that are on Caleb Williams. By the way, there's a little bit of breaking news, and it's funny because it was on the list of things that we were going to do on today's show. This from the Chicago Bears. They have placed Jaquan Brisker on injured reserve.
Wow. That's a long time since his concussion, reportedly his third. He could have been on IR already because it's been more than the four games.
That's what we were talking about, where it's like, did they miss an opportunity here? But it seems like this, his reaction to the concussion is so severe that he is going to be on IR, and that's going to be that. So
he has been in the concussion protocol for a good long while here, and it was reported in the middle of a Bears report. Mark Rohde passed on this show, and this was, I think, 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, that he had reached step four of the five-step concussion protocol. So it seemed like he only had a little bit more to go, but that step obviously has not been made.
It was just like when Grody told us yesterday, he said, oh, yeah, I'm totally going to be back. And we both were just like, you don't know that. Hmm. And it seems like in a week where the Bears have gotten a lot wrong, I think they've gotten this completely right. I think they have done an excellent job of treating this with the seriousness that it deserves. And I hope Jaquan is all right.
Like, man,
I really, really hope he's okay.
Yeah, me too. And yeah, I find myself thinking about, you know, NFL players. You know, there's some NFL players have retired or left the game because of it. But when you want to come back, when you've made the decision to fight through it and come back and cannot, that's an extra level of sadness and then a complexity, because what if they're realizing they shouldn't, or if that's going on, or if they want to and they're being held back and they're mad about that? Who knows what the emotions are? It's heavy.
And probably for Jaquan, being a guy who likes to levy the hit against another player, I'm sure it's bugging him that he's not out there because of something that an offensive player did in an illegal hit by lowering your helmet to make it helmet-to-helmet contact. In that moment,
just to complete the protocol conversation, phase four of the protocol is club-based non-contact training, and he had reached that. That's participation in all non-contact drills, including position-specific activities, such as throwing or catching. And that's what we had heard, is that he was out there, and sometimes he'd be playing catch, he'd be hanging around doing that stuff. But phase five of full football activity clearance is what has never been reached this particular time around.
The whole thing is terrifying, and you kind of knew, like, one of the things I said about Jaquan when he was drafted is that he reminded me of a bigger version, he is Bob Sanders, but in a bigger body. You know, Bob Sanders was about my size, and he was throwing his body out there. And Jaquan's, what, 6'1", 6'2", and he's throwing his body out there. And with Bob Sanders, it wasn't concussions. It was just injuries. It was just because of the way that he played, how hard he played, how he wanted to inflict punishment as a defender, that he'd have this he's got a shoulder, he's got a hamstring, like all of this stuff that would happen to him.
Mm-hmm.
And Brisker plays similarly. And it makes me really sad and very scared that he is not able to make it back to the field. But I really like that, whether it's the NFL protocols, strict adherence to those protocols by the Bears, that he is being kept off of the field until he is completely cleared. And whenever it comes to anyone's brain, I am down for being as cautious as possible.
Mm-hmm. For sure. On the football front, this means Elijah Hicks stays there at that job. Now that Kyler Gordon is back, that is a help in terms of support in the run game, which obviously Brisker is so good at. But he's just such a unique player as a box safety, able to do so many things, and a real special kind of weapon for a defensive coordinator to use, that it takes away some of your flexibility as a defense.
He's also an emotional amplifier on the field as well. And that's one of the things where when you draft a guy as highly as Brisker was drafted, that you're hoping that he can be on the field for you as much as possible, because he makes positive plays and he's also in that defense, like a really positive guy to have back there. Really smart safety as well.
Man, what a drag, dude.
Yeah.
His game is freaking vicious. It really is. We love it. We love the violence of it and the controlled fight of it. But man, these dudes are out there putting every bit of their lives at risk every single play.
Yeah.
Which adds a gravitas to it.
It's very scary. And when you talk to guys who are retired and they talk about like what they're worried about, like what they're scared of, it has to do with some of this stuff.
Mm.
And it's heartbreaking because you know that most of the guys would do it again. Like, even knowing they do it again because of what the game has done for them, what the game has done for their families. And they have always been willing to take the hit, figuratively and literally, because of what it can be on the other side.
They're modern day gladiators, and these football stadiums are the modern day coliseums, of course. And we go and we cheer and we watch and we cheer as they put their bodies on the line. And I that's part of why players kind of demand a certain personality from a head coach, like Lance Briggs was saying before. I think that's part and parcel of why it's more necessary in this sport than it is in other sports, that you got to have, you know, an attitude where it comes across that you're willing to fight every man in the room. You're willing to stand up to every man in the room. It's why, you know, people idolized Ditka for decades in this town. It's why Dan Campbell is in part getting all the love that he's getting. It's why this is a common thread. And it's why a lot of us get super frustrated with the Bears as an organization, because it doesn't seem they want that kind of personality. It doesn't seem that they want that kind of strength and that kind of sort of visceral machismo, if you will, in a head coach. And Mike Sando, who's written some incredible stuff these days in The Athletic about the Bears situation, was on with Mully and Haw this morning, and he was talking about how Bears ownership and Kevin Warren may not have an appetite for a strong personality at head coach.
I think every one of these organizations is unique in a different job, but what I kind of think of Kevin Warren is a little bit like Rich McKay, right? They're seasoned executives, and they aren't going to probably be meddling in the play calling or what we're doing on third down this week, but they're a presence in the organization in a leadership role. And so, like last offseason, people thought, hey, Bill Belichick's going to go to Atlanta. And then when it didn't happen, they kind of was like, well, Rich McKay's there, that type of a thing. Doesn't mean you can't get a good coach. They got Raheem Morris. He may be a great coach. But I think it does probably affect the type of coach that you get and how much they're empowered. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's interesting. I worry then that they got the wrong guy. It makes me worry. He's not a football guy. You know, Rich McKay grew up in the game with his father, and I don't know that he's necessarily a football guy. I think he's a really
bright
guy. Does Kevin
Warren know what he's looking
for? That's what I'm asking.
But they're not picking. But Rich McKay is not in the draft, I don't think, in the draft going, hey, we got to have this corner. I wouldn't think he would be doing that. Most people don't hire somebody who reduces their own footprint or power or ambitions, right?
Agree.
Just in general, like if you're running would you hire that for somebody? Would you hire somebody to overshadow you in your job?
Oh, boy. Dude, and the stuff that Mike Sando is hinting at that he's not even saying amidst all of that is scary, man. It's what I've been kind of dancing around and hinting at and talking about over these past few days of an organization that is afraid of the big personality head coach, and now has added a layer that I thought was going to make things better, but is potentially making things worse if it's making ownership and him afraid of a big personality head coach.
With the teams that I have covered, the experience of working here and seeing how things go in a lot of different sports organizations, I have come to the conclusion for me, I don't need the president of a football team to know football, but I don't want a president who doesn't know football but thinks he knows football running an organization.
That's dangerous.
That's a little bit of my fear here. Like, I don't mind, even though I don't like what he's working towards, I don't mind Kevin Warren playing the political game to try and get the Bears the best possible deal on a stadium. It's literally his job. Our job is to call it out when it looks ridiculous, and he has had a lot of those missteps. But that, to me, is the role of someone who's in that. To me, the top football guy, and one of the things I liked initially about the Kevin Warren hire, is that it made Ryan Poles your top football guy. And during that time, it seemed like he had things handled. I'm uncomfortable with the idea that Warren might now feel like he should get more involved in the football stuff. I would prefer that if this is going to go off the rails, that we allow Ryan Poles to kind of learn from his mistakes and then try to correct them without there being someone without a real football background giving his input into what happens next.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, here's the part of this. Here's where we get to the part of this for me, Lawrence, that ties to the White Sox.
Oh, no.
Here's the part of it that starts to feel a little Reinsdorfian to me, is that there was a no-brainer, big fish, big personality, high-ticket item available as a head coach candidate in Jim Harbaugh. Like an absolute no-brainer fit in terms of a former hero of your franchise, a disciple of
Ditka,
a proven winner at every level.
And a proven offensive mind who can work in multiple different systems with different types of quarterbacks and allow them to succeed.
Yes. And his NFL opportunities did not even include the Chicago Bears. It was like, it was, could this happen? Could this happen? No. Just no. No interview, no interest.
Wasn't it he has a job at the University of Michigan at the time?
Yes. So there was no freaking nothing. And the fact that that wasn't even considered, it kind of strikes me as very similar to what Reinsdorf said when he tossed off the possibility of adding perhaps the greatest player in the history of baseball.
Look, we're not going to be in an Ohtani race. I'll tell you that right now. I'll give you.
Like, no, we're not a professional baseball team, is what you're saying. We're not doing that. We're not interested. We're out of that. You're not a professional football team. If you're not even freaking considering Jim Harbaugh, it's absolutely ridiculous. And they're so cheap, man. They've always been cheap. And it's always been this idea of throwing nickels around like manhole covers. And there's been things that have changed in that regard. But Harbaugh's making $17 million a year. You know, would they even traffic in that way?
I don't see. To me, the money isn't as much the issue as it is the presentation, the personality, and the power.
I think the money's part and parcel.
I didn't mean to make that all alliterative, but
yeah. But I think the money's part and parcel with that, because with the money comes the power as well. Comes the undeniable power.
And I think that it's hard for folks when there is someone who has the bona fides, and for a while, it's all a problem. Had the bona fides, right? That you could walk in and
John Fox walked in with the bona fides,
but he was clearly not interested in working. Like, he was clearly just kind of Harbaugh still has the energy to want to work and to want to change. And look at what he's done with Justin Herbert.
Chargers are a playoff team as it stands right now.
They're a playoff team, and they're doing it in a very different way. This is why, like, to me, you talk about quarterbacks and you talk about yardage. It's empty calories, man. Can you win in those moments? And he's made, I think, Justin Herbert's life easier.
And he said so. In the offseason, they said, the question was, how are you going to make Justin Herbert better? And he said, we're going to give him a running game. And that's what he's done. And now the opportunities will come for Justin Herbert, as opposed to, yes, the big numbers and the big production without the winning.
Justin Herbert's numbers this year, because they're great. He's completed 66% of his passes for 1,900 yards, 11 touchdowns, one interception. Passer rating of 103.2. That is above his career passer rating, by the way. So what it shows you is, here, why don't we take this really specially talented guy and we say to him, you don't have to do it all, but when we need you to make the big play,
yeah,
go do you. Sound familiar?
It sounds
like the type of thing that should happen this Sunday.
It sounds like the type of thing we're advocating for that Matt Bowen just laid out for you beautifully, and the type of thing that I thought was going to happen for a rookie quarterback. Instead, they thought they could have a Bobby Slowick, C.J. Stroud thing and have some magic there. And that is, I know that worked last year and you're shaking your head about this year, but I'm telling you.
Just watch the tape.
They thought last year's version of that was going to be this year's version of that. And a lot of us hoped for that. A lot of us hoped for that. So, but we're not the professional football people. They are, and they looked at this and made some terrible choices.
And the thing is, I don't know if this the whole thing will end up working. It would be great if it did. I don't mind Warren in the role of carnival barker and guy that's out here trying to get, because that's what he does. Like, if you look at the deal making of Kevin Warren, he gets deals done,
but
which is what he should be doing.
Okay, but it's not the idea of a football czar that we have been
correct
calling for decades in the face of Ted Phillips and everything else. It is not ended up being that
but
at
see,
all.
And that's my thing with Ted, too. Ted became what I'm talking about. Ted, for the most part, thought that he was a guy that didn't know football. And then as his career went on,
mm-hmm,
because ideally, like through osmosis, you're around the football team. So do you pick up that knowledge and do you become a football guy? But that's what I mean. A guy that doesn't really know football, then thinking he knows football and maybe interjecting into situations that he's not qualified. That's what scares me.
I understand. This organization has not had an appetite for a strong personality head coach since Ditka. And you heard it in the Bowen intro, saying
Lovie had a strong personality.
Okay.
He was just quiet. That's the point I was making with the Briggs thing of, like, He didn't have to go screaming and yelling. His presence did that for him.
But was Lovey ever stronger than the general manager? Was Lovey ever a more powerful voice in the organization than the person picking the groceries? I don't believe so.
He stayed, right? After Angelo was fired. Do I have that right? Yeah. So, yes.
Well, but then Emery fired him. Emery fired him. He stayed with Emery, but I don't know that even Emery wanted that. And then Emery fired him after a 10-6 year. So no,
which they're still recovering from.
Yeah, but I don't think Lovey had risen to that.
I just think that the definition of strength needs to take on more than just here's a guy who's a swaggering screamer. Strength can also be having strength in your conviction and having a plan. And then being able to back up your conviction with work.
Okay.
And but, I think that's what Lovie Smith did.
But I'm not demeaning
Lovie. And remember, I was Lovie Smith's biggest antagonist.
I'm not diminishing his strength as a football coach in terms of the football players, but his strength in an organization. The Bowen thing that he said is that your football coach has to be the most powerful guy in the building. And that's what they've been afraid of, is allowing somebody to rise to that level of power. And they had Lovey where they wanted him for a good long while in that way.
It's a sad state of affairs.
It's a really sad state of affairs. You don't want to be thought of as Reinsdorfian, but we're gonna have to make sure that they don't go on the cheap moving forward with coaches and coaches' salaries. And we got to hold them to this idea of going ahead and getting a hard ass and a strong football coach and not being afraid of that.
Reinsdorfian, you say? Reinsdorfian. That's something that we should keep in mind. By the way, I'm going to be with Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley at Wonderverse in Oak Brook. I'm going to be hosting the pregame show, sitting in for Mully. Then we're going to have immediate reaction from the postgame as Chicago takes on Green Bay. That's this Sunday at Wonderverse in Oak Brook. Did you know that there's going to be a new way to watch your favorite basketball team, hockey team, and maybe your favorite baseball team starting tomorrow? We're going to talk to you about that next on The Score.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.